This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi na'hmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'aghfiruhu. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم wa syarrul umuri muhdatsatuha wa kullu muhdatsatin bid'ah wa kullu bid'atin dalalatin wa kullu dalalatin fin nar. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, we come to a topic that concerns us all, of remaining steadfast, whether it be after the month of Ramadan or at other times of the year or throughout our lives. That the believer, the Muslim, is always trying to find ways of istiqamah, of remaining committed and remaining steadfast in the goals and objectives the individual wants to attain or achieve in this world. And we know that iman, it fluctuates and it changes, and the heart and the iman needs to rest. And providing that time of rest coincides with the Quran and the Sunnah, then it becomes something acceptable. But for some of us, unfortunately, the iman, it begins to plummet to such a degree, it goes out of the realms of the Quran and the Sunnah and becomes something which is unacceptable at times. And even we know at times, even halal things, some of the ulama mentioned a quite possibly a principle, إِذَا تَجَاوَزَ شَيْ حَدُّهُ أَصْبَحَ دِدَّهُ. If you go beyond the bounds in anything, which possibly could even be something halal, it becomes the opposite. It could become something forbidden, even something which is permissible. So we want to find ways of remaining steadfast, remaining constant, remaining on that average level, as we know that iman yazidu bitta'a wa yanqus bil ma'asiyah. Iman, it goes up with good actions and it comes down with disobedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a side point, this topic of remaining steadfast or remaining committed is something every single human being faces in their life. There's just a difference in the way that we try to remain steadfast and other people remain steadfast. Do you think non-Muslims don't face challenges every single day? Don't you think they override the difficulties, the pressures? Yes, some of them, they may break. They may lose focus and devotion and commitment. But they have a vision, they have a dream, they have a goal, and they see the light at the end of the tunnel. So why don't we see the light at the end of the tunnel? Why don't we see that commitment? Obviously their commitment is for this world, love of possession, love of wealth, love of property, love of position, love of emblems, medals, honors, knighthoods, whatever it may be. And that's a strange point even the Quran mentions. Because sometimes we may think that they're weak individuals, but some of them are ferocious, some of them are committed, and some of them are damn good warriors as well. Because the Quran mentions, فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ. They face afflictions and pain just like you face it as well. And at times they can bear it harder than us. But then comes a key factor about what makes a Muslim go beyond the limits. وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. What you aspire for is something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something they don't aspire. So the Quran is documented, it will be amongst the non-Muslims as well. They will face afflictions and calamities and difficulties, and they will override them at times. But their hopes and aspirations are false. So remaining steadfast and finding ways of steadfast is for all of us. And we know that the more you burn gold, the more it's placed inside the furnace in the heat, the more it is purified, the more precious it becomes. The more you shine a diamond, the more it sparkles. The more a believer is tested, the more pristine and orthodox the believer becomes. And that's the Quran mentions inside Surah Al-Ankabut, the 29th chapter of the Quran, Alif Lam Mim, أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتن الذين من قبلهم فلا يعلمن الله الذين صدقوا ولا يعلمن الكاذبين. Of these three letters, Alif Lam Mim, do people perceive and think we're going to leave them alone? أن يقولوا آمنا, what we believe, وهم لا يفتنون, and they will never ever be tested. Indeed, we did test the people before you, that Allah may show those who are the truthful individuals and those who are the liars. So Islam has its fit and has its tests and its trials to sieve out those people who are the liars, those who are the hypocrites, and those individuals who are the real believers. Sunnatullahi alal ard. That is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this earth. May not happen now, may happen in 5 years, in 10 years, 50 years, 100 years time. وَالْعِلْمُ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. But the believer is always equipped and prepared, that the journey will not always be smooth. Also we find another famous ayah inside Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ. And here, if you go and study the deep understanding of the Arabic language, it doesn't say we're going to test you of continuous fear. جُزْ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ بَعْدُ الْخَوْفِ, some fear, some hardship is going to come upon you. And look how many of us we begin to crumble. Whatever the media displays around us, or the peer pressure, whatever it may be, we begin to wash away our iman. So some fear, some loss of your lives, your loved ones, your own self, your wealth, your property, your fruits. Give glad tidings to those individuals when calamities befall them, that they make this statement, to Allah we belong and to Allah we return. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Those are the ones that the prayers, the salutations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon those individuals. And those are the rightly guided individuals. Even we find at times life becomes difficult for even the prophets. Once again inside Surah Al-Baqarah we find a later stage, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَالزُّلْزِلُوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله ألا إن نصر الله قريب. Once again, listen carefully to these ayat. أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة. Do you think you're just going to stroll into paradise? Do you perceive the doors of paradise are just going to fling open, you're going to walk into paradise? Do you really believe that? أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Has not the parable come of the people that came before you? مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ. Hardships and afflictions and adversities came upon them. وَالزُّلْزِلُوا. And the earth shook underneath them. Until eventually the messenger and those who believe with him said, مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. When will the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come? Strange, isn't it? That even the messenger and those who believe will make that statement. Then the response is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Indeed, the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something very close by. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let the actions of a believer go to waste. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ Allah doesn't let your iman go to waste. Even this ayah in the second juz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not letting one's iman goes to waste, as ulama tafsir have mentioned, is referring to one's salah, one's prayer. Those 16 or 18 months that the Muslims used to pray towards Baytul Maqdis, then we find tahwil al-qibla, the changing of the qibla. Some of them felt remorseful. The 16 or 18 months of offering the prayers, what's going to happen to those prayers? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this ayah, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ Allah will not let your iman go to waste. And likewise, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not oppress any servant. So one shouldn't lose focus, shouldn't lose vigilance, and shouldn't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is غَافِلٌ عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ unaware or heedless of what the oppressors are doing upon the face of this earth. The believer remains constant, remains committed, and perseveres until the individual meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus the current tests that we find around us, the obstacles, show even more importantly the ahmiyah, the importance of remaining steadfast. And thus the Quran mentions, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ Flee to Allah. Some of us Muslims, unfortunately, begin to flee away from the Quran and Sunnah, flee away from my Islamic identity, flee away from my Islamic rights and regulations, and begin to make excuses about them. Especially as we find that we surround the Western environment, the hemisphere, many of us eventually begin to cave in. But it's been prophesied by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a time will come, the believer who holds fast to one's faith will be like al-qabid ala dinihi kal-qabid ala al-jamr. The person who holds fast to one's deen will be like one who's holding onto hot coal in one's hand. Meaning that's how fast a person needs to remain steadfast to the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. That's why that famous hadith whereby the Prophet Muhammad gave that strong admonition and he highlighted to his followers, they said, as if this is the final sermon, give us an admonition. And in that final admonition that he delivered to them, he said to them, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي Upon you to follow my sunnah, my example, and the way of the Khulafa al-Rashideen al-Mahdiyeen, the rightly guided Khulafa. أَعَدُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذ Hold fast to my sunnah with your molar teeth. Grasp it, bite, hold on to it tightly, remaining firm to the teachings of the Quran, and here in specific the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus we find, what is the final result? فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى Indeed, after every hardship, there is ease. After every hardship, there is ease.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Can brother Ismail Hakomali go and see his sister? She's not well and she needs to be taken home.
So in this ayah that we find, indeed after every single hardship, there is ease. After every hardship, there is ease. Here ulama of tafsir have discussed, what does it mean? Is there two hardships and is there two ease? And here the ulama mentioned there is only one hardship and two eases. That's something that goes back to Ibn Abbas, لَنْ يَخْلِبْ عُسْرٌ يُسْرَيْن One hardship cannot overtake two eases. And here the ulama are going to a linguistic discussion, because it's mentioned here, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرُ الْعُسْرُ بِاللَّهِ مُتَعْرِيفِ Which is يعني المعرفة, which is the known article with al, the hardship. So here ulama mention of linguistics that if the word is repeated with lamul ma'rifa, with the al, the definite article, it is exactly the same. So it's not two hardships that occur, it's only one hardship. And if a word is mentioned nakira, without the definite article, without al, because here it mentions fa innama al-usri yusra. Yusra is without al, it doesn't say al-yusra, it just says yusran. So if it's mentioned without lamu ta'rif, then this is classified as two eases. So this ayah linguistically contains only one hardship and two eases. Like we find ulama mention that whenever hardship enters into a tunnel, then know for a fact that behind it will be ease. The difference is we don't know how long the tunnel is. Tunnels of this world, we know how long the channel tunnel is or other tunnels are. But this tunnel of Islam, no one knows. So there's many hardships and obstacles and difficulties. But as we began with, there is light at the end of every single tunnel. The separation or the distinction is we don't know how long the tunnel is at the moment. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. It's a long path. A long path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is to persevere and continue upon that journey. Likewise in a hadith we find, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Have knowledge that indeed after every hardship there is ease. Another passage in the Quran we find, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. Allah will place after every hardship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place ease for the individual. Ease inside this dunya and likewise inside the akhirah as well. As we find inside Surah Ibrahim, the 14th chapter of the Quran, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you ithbat, steadfastness to remain upon قَوْلُ الثَّابِتِ. Imam Sa'di in his famous tafsir, he writes, and many of the other mufassirun have gone to this view as well, قَوْلُ ثَابِتْ هُوَ قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ, is to remain steadfast upon Tawheed, the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Inside Surah Muhammad, the 47th chapter of the Quran, if I'm not mistaken, have knowledge that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seek forgiveness for your sins. The verse then continues inside Surah Ibrahim, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيُدِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يُدِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ, sends astray the oppressive individuals, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever befits His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inside this dunya, the person will be steadfast. And likewise inside the akhirah, the person will be steadfast as well. That is the power and the magnitude of understanding belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because many people always come and say, what's the ahmiyah of tawheed? What's the importance of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the importance. Because yes, we will all sin, various degrees of levels of sins that we'll commit. But some people have tarnished their sins with a corrupt belief. So perhaps a person has a good belief and may have committed sins, may be washed away because they try to find a pristine belief. The double mistake that many of us are making is we have corrupt beliefs and then we have corrupt actions as well. Then we try to justify that somehow we will seek our way into paradise. And that's the Quran mentions quite clearly inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. So some people always try to say this is maybe a da'wah of a certain personality or an individual or a group. No, it's the da'wah of the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, whoever commits shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ, Allah has made it haram for that person to ever go to paradise. So it's not a personal da'wah. These are words of the Qur'an. Whoever commits shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dies upon that, it's haram. Finish. That person will never go to paradise. And we know how rampant shirk is inside our community. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Most people believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but their belief is tarnished with concepts which go against the authentic belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is full of some concepts of polytheism and shirk بِاللَّهِ subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, you'll find another famous verse inside the Quran talking about istiqama, steadfastness. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. In those people who say, our Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Once again, the key word here is istiqama. They remain steadfast, they remain committed. What happens to these individuals? تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, the angels descend upon them. and say to him, no fear, no grief be upon you. There's no grief, no fear upon you. Enter into paradise, rejoice of going into paradise because of the actions you used to do. We are your friends, your companions in this world, and likewise we are your friends and your protectors inside the akhirah as well. Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, whenever he used to read this ayah, he would make this dua, Allahumma anta rabbuna farzuqna al-istiqama. Oh Allah, you are our Lord, and bestow, place down upon me istiqama, to remain in steadfast. Another similar verse is also found inside the Quran as well, a slightly different ending. Innal ladina qalu rabbuna Allah thumma istaqamu fala khawfun alayhim wala hum yahzanun ulaika ashabul jannati khalidina fiha jazaa'an bima kanu ya'malun. Once again, those individuals who say our Lord is Allah, thumma istaqamu, they remain steadfast upon that. Fala khawfun alayhim wala hum yahzanun, there's no fear or no grief upon them. These or those individuals are the companions of paradise, khalidina fiha, residing inside paradise. Then comes the key element, jaza'an bima kanu ya'malun, recompense, reward for what the actions they used to do. That's why once again Imam al-Hasan al-Basri said, laysa al-iman bit-tamanni, iman isn't false hopes, false aspirations. That's what many Muslims unfortunately live upon, false hopes. I'm a Muslim, Allah will forgive me, Allah will pardon me, I done this action, done that action, that will suffice me, that is sufficient for me. That's not what Islam is. قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ أَمَنَّ قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. Bedouin Arabs said that we believe. Quran negates their belief. Some of the Mufassirun even go to the view that it mentioned these individuals, they're hypocrites who made this statement. Even the correct view is that they were believers, they were Muslims who made that statement. But some have gone to that extreme view, that how can they say that we believe? And the Quran says, don't say you've believed, but rather say you've submitted. So many of us, we think we're doing a great service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're doing a great favor, but rather the favor is upon us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us towards in Islam. So iman isn't just false hopes and aspirations and statements. Iman in the Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah is al-iman wal amal, is belief and action. If you study throughout the Quran, you're always going to find a relationship between one's iman and one's actions. Hardly ever you're going to find them split apart. We are the ones that begin to split it apart. Well, at least I have iman, but I have no actions. Or I've got actions, but I don't have the right iman. No, both of them go together. Person needs to find the right iman, and likewise needs to find the right actions, or to do plentiful actions, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our meagerly actions and our efforts that we do. Likewise, we find an order given specifically to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam inside Surah Hud, the 11th chapter of the Quran, as we find, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ, remain steadfast as you've been commanded to do so. Even though this ayah, this verse, is addressing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find ulama of ulumul Quran and tafsir have mentioned that there's various divisions of khitab, of addressing, which has been mentioned inside the Quran. That at times when it speaks to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it also entails the rest of this ummah as well. So even though this khitab, this addressing is specific, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ, remain steadfast as you have been commanded to do so, speaking directly to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that does not mean that this khitab, this addressing is not for us. As ulama of ulumul Quran, there's only a few rare ayat inside the Quran whereby it's addressing specifically the messenger. For example, Surah Al-Ahzab, speaking to the Prophet that for you to marry such and such women, etc., is permissible for you. So that address becomes specific for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for other locations of the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nabi harrid al-mu'minina ala al-qital, O Prophet, inspire the believers to come out to fight towards warfare, etc. So this khitab may be specifically for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but also applies to Muslims as well. That at times that person needs to go out in the way, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make these actions. Also, we find as a side point, this surah Hud, if you go back and read the tafsir and the fada'il, the virtues of Surah Hud, the 11th chapter of the Quran, you find some narrations going back mentioning Shayyabatni Hudun wa akhawatuha. What has made my hair go grey is Surah Hud, the 11th surah, and its sister surahs. The large portion of these surahs are talking about the final day. This is what made the blessed hair of the Prophet Muhammad go grey. The power and the impact of the Quran that had on his personality and his mind, his soul, and even his body. Imam Suyuti, he mentions that after this verse was sent down, فَمَا رُؤِيَ ضَاحِكًا, the Prophet Muhammad was never ever seen laughing ever again. If he did laugh, he would smile, and very rarely would he open his mouth. Unlike for many of us that we laugh with our mouths fully open, and at times it could be going against the sunnah and the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another verse we find inside the Quran also talk about istiqama, speaking to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wastaqim kama umirta wa la tattabi' ahwa'ahum. Wastaqim kama umirta, remain steadfast in being commanded to do so, wa la tattabi' ahwa'ahum, and do not follow their desires. What is the world around us at the moment? Is it not a world full of desires? Whether it be the desires of corrupt beliefs, or whether it be the desires of temptations that we find around us. As the ulama mentioned, there are two types of affairs that begin to come upon this Muslim ummah. One is shubuhat, one is doubts about the correct belief, etc. And the other is ashahawat, it's temptations, it's desires. And both of these are destroying this Muslim ummah rapidly. If it's not shubuhat, doubts in our belief, then it's a love of shahawat, a love of desires, temptations, worldly possessions. You can see it rampantly that we're surrounded by it. So the Quran is telling us, if you want to remain steadfast, you have to stay away from people who are full of ahwa, of desires and temptations, who are going to distract you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is al-istiqamah? What is steadfastness? What have the ulama concluded is al-istiqamah? Various derivatives and synonymous terminologies are mentioned, but all of them can come together and become a complete picture of what is steadfastness. First we find al-istiqamah ala tawheed, as we hinted, is to remain steadfast upon the correct belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, istiqamah, that you never ever commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus you find some athar saying, being mentioned to some of the companions, that never commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you are burnt alive. Person should never commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such a degree. Likewise, you find other ulama mentioned, yani al-istiqamah, or istaqamu ala fara'id. People remain steadfast upon their obligatory actions. So many people get overexcited about the vigilance of the night prayer. And this is also talbis of Iblis at times, deception, the devil, reading the Quran all night, standing in qiyam, doing supererogatory actions, then falling asleep at the time of Fajr and missing the fard prayer, or oversleeping and missing dhuhr, etc. So our key message, it may sound very strange, but living in the West, if a Muslim can be vigilant and diligent in performing their 5 daily prayers at their punctual time and preserving and guarding them, that will be a very good success. حَافِذُوا لَالصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Guard your prayers, preserve your prayers, and especially the middle prayer and the most accurate view. وَالْعِلْمُ إِنَّ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Middle prayer is Salatul Asr. And likewise, you find other ulama of Ulum al-Quran mentioned that certain verses which have become mansukha have been abrogated, specifically mentioned the word Salatul Asr as the middle prayer, as ulama of Ulum al-Quran have collected. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. And stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in an observant, in obedient manner, in a state of servitude. And we can see the masses of Muslims, how many Muslims were there before in Ramadan, how the masjid was mali, masjid was full, masjid was spilling out. Now as soon as Ramadan is over, what's happened? Has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed? Has the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed? Who's changed? We've changed. Because we're not focusing upon those actions which keep us upon steadfastness. That in this month of Ramadan, we've been vigilant about our prayers. Now we need to take that outside of Ramadan. So amongst ma'ani of istiqamah is fara'id. be strong and observant upon those actions which are obligatory. Hold fast to them and remain steadfast upon them. Likewise, the ulama mentioned, مَعَ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ لَزُومْ تَاعَةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Istiqama means to hold fast to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you're always trying to find ways and the correct way of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're holding fast to that. That's, you know, the whole concept of being a muttaqi, a pious individual, is always trying to find ways of that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and staying away from that which displeases or earns the anger or the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, is all the remaining steadfast, as we mentioned, it's not just for the Prophet Muhammad, it's also for the rest of mankind as well. As we find another famous hadith in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, a man came to the Prophet Muhammad and asked for some wasiyah, asked for a legacy, asked for some advice. As you find many times different individuals, Bedouin, Arabs, people would come and ask him for advice. Give me some advice. Sometimes you say to a person, La takhdab, don't get angry. He repeated, said, don't get angry. Repeated, said, don't get angry. Small words, jawamiul kalim, concise words, right to the point, giving each individual their specific advice, but that specific advice becomes general advice for all of us. So a man came and he said, Qulli fil islami qawlan la as'alu anhu ahadan ghayrak. He said, give me a statement, give me a word I can only ask you and no one else. So what did the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to this individual? He said to him, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say, I believe in Allah, and then remain steadfast upon that. Simple advice. Once again, as the whole discussion has been, belief and remaining steadfast and action. As many of the ulama have concluded in explanation of this hadith, that what does it mean? That remain steadfast. You believe in Allah, show your observance, show your obedience by remaining steadfast and carrying out those actions which show your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now obviously many of us may be thinking, well, that all sounds good about what is al-istiqama and the technical definition of remaining steadfast, etc. But what concerns us today or tonight is ways of remaining steadfast. How do we now extract that iman that we had inside Ramadan? How do we now begin to take that and take other things to remain more steadfast? Amongst the ways that a person can remain steadfast that the ulama have collected is awwalan al-iqbalu ala al-Qur'an, is to come towards the Qur'an. Because many of us, obviously in Ramadan we hear the Qur'an or we recite the Qur'an, then after Ramadan it begins to slip away from us. Kitab Allahi wara'a dhuhurihim ka'annahum la ya'lamun. For the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind our backs as if we don't know. So the first way of remaining upon steadfastness is to come approach the Qur'an, to take from the Qur'an. As the Qur'an itself, it mentions, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً. The disbelievers say, if only the Qur'an didn't come down, دُفْعِ وَاحِدَةً, didn't come down in one portion. Because the previous revelations, they all came down as a single book. But the Qur'an came down in various stages over a period of 23 years, as ulama have mentioned, Imam Suyuti in his Al-Itqan fi Ulum al-Qur'an as well, how the Qur'an was brought down, etc. So why doesn't it come down in one go? And here the answer is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which carries the hidden message in which concerns us, كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. That we may, لِنُثَبِّتَ فُؤَادَكَ, we may keep your heart steadfast. So the Qur'an comes down at intervals in stages according to the time and the nature of what's being questioned or being asked or what needs to be sent down to strengthen the iman of the individual. So that's when the person comes to the Qur'an, reads it at portions, at intervals, then the person is obviously going to strengthen their iman. And the ayah continues, وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا, to recite it in tartil. And that's the Qur'an is supposed to be written or read in the form of tartil. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا, another passage, if I'm not mistaken, like Surah Muzammil, that we find. That person should try to find that rhythm or that tone or that flow inside the recitation, the Qur'an, not as unfortunately many of us read it as parrots and just begin to whiz through without any trying to deliver the correct pronunciation of the words and the letters of the Qur'an. وَلَا يَأْتُونَكَ بِمَثَلٍ إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَحْسَنَ تَفْسِيرًا. They don't bring any parable, because many people try to bring parables and similitudes, etc. But the best of parables and examples have been laid out inside the Qur'an. That's why many of the ulama have just collected what's known as Amthal al-Qur'an, the parables which have been placed inside the Qur'an. There's numerous parables right from the beginning, from the Ba'uda, from the fly, all the way throughout the Qur'an, of various animals, of various creatures, of human beings, of the deaf, the dumb, the blind. All these parables, why have they been placed in the Qur'an? وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. These are parables that we throw down upon people, upon mankind, that they may begin to ponder and reflect. Likewise, you find wastaqim kama umirt, the verse that we mentioned previously, remain steadfast, you've been told to do so. Imam Sufyan al-Thawri goes to the view, wastaqim, remain steadfast ala al-Qur'an, remain steadfast upon the Qur'an. Upon reciting the Qur'an, the studying of the Qur'an, the implementation of the Qur'an, is his interpretation of showing any sticking to the Qur'an. From the Qur'an, what can we take from the Qur'an that will strengthen our iman and keep us steadfast? Once again, the ulama mentioned that which can be extracted from the Qur'an is, firstly, without a doubt, is the stories of the prophets. وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ رُسُلْ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Every time we narrate to you the stories of the prophets, once again, what is the key message of sending down these stories? مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. We may strengthen your iman. نُثَبِّتْ إِثْبَاتْ. Make your heart steadfast, keep you firm. وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِي الْحَقُّ وَمَوْعِدَةٌ وَذِكْرَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Indeed, it has come in this book admonition, guidance, and a strong warning and a reminder for the people who are the believers. So when a person goes to read the stories of the prophets, whether directly in the Qur'an or looks at compilations like the works of Ibn Kathir in his Qasas al-Anbiya, stories of the prophets, all these stories have been mentioned inside the Qur'an to strengthen the iman of the individual. Thus we find, if you go back to the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, of remaining steadfast. When they said, قَالُوا حَرِّقُوهُ وَانْصُرُوا آلِهَتَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. Burn him if you're going to rescue and save your gods. And when Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown into fire, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَالسَّلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَخْسَرِينَ. So a person finds steadfastness. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. Did he get worried? Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan. In many times people say, what difference does one man make? What difference does it make? One man can change a whole nation. You know, even if you read the lives of some non-Muslims, single men have changed many people's perceptions, changing lands, countries, nations. They had the belief in their kufr and they continued that journey. So here Ibrahim alayhi salam was one man, but Quran documents him as one nation. So he remained steadfast. The challenge of being thrown into the fire, he did not crumble away, give away his faith, remained steadfast, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him by turning that which normally burns, turning it to become something peaceful for Ibrahim alayhi salam. You come to a large portion of the Quran, a large portion of the Quran, يَقُصُّ عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, talks about Bani Israel, and in specific about Musa alayhi salam. And that's when Musa alayhi salam comes to that location, to that destination, of fleeing from his people, of fleeing from Fir'aun, that behind him is Fir'aun, in front of him is the river. Strange scenario. You know, Musa alayhi salam has been helped throughout his life. Even when he was a baby, he's been helped throughout his life. So the people, when they say, فَلَمَّا تَرَى الْجَمْعَانِ قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَى إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. When the people of Musa, they see all his great gathering, they say, إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. We're going to be overtaken, overwhelmed. See what happens? Iman begins to, because that's what some of us, we look at numbers and digits. You know, at the moment, these people have spent £140 billion on their war on terrorism. And those people in those mountains have only spent 17 million. It's a great big game. So they think that we're going to, it's all about numbers and digits. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Wasn't you, Ya Rasulullah, when you threw it? Wasn't you that threw? When you throw it, it wasn't you. But it was us that threw that dust into their eyes. So it's not about digits and numbers. Because then Musa alayhi salam, he turned and he said, قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَحْدِينَ. Nay, with me is my Lord and he will guide me. Throughout my life, he's helped me, taken care of me. So how now can I believe that even this pinnacle point in my life, the river Nile is in front of me, Fir'aun with his massive armies behind me, there must be a way out. Istiqamah, remain steadfast. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Musa alayhi salam, take the same staff that you've used throughout your life to strike. And if you begin to see that the river parts, and once again the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala river, it flows. But here it turns into two huge mountains. And a passage, a canal is made for Musa alayhi salam to traverse or travel in between this gap. But once again, a person needs to remain steadfast, have that belief, that conviction. That's what Quran mentions, Ya أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who believe, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If you remain steadfast, if you want the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a two-way relationship. You remain steadfast, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will strengthen you, aid you, and give you victory, and keep firm your feet on the ground. It's a two-way relationship. Don't expect that change will just drop from the heavens. The environment that we live in is just going to drop. So people, many people wait for the Mahdi is going to come and this is going to happen, continuously waiting. Inside Surah Al-Ra'd we find, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will never change the condition of people until they don't change their own condition. So one has to travel a path of steadfastness to make that change inside the wider society. Likewise, we find inside Surah Yusuf, another blessed surah, the 12th chapter of the Quran, is the only surah in the Quran which was sent down in the year of Aam al-Huzn, the year of grief, whereby many calamities came upon the Prophet Muhammad, including the death of his beloved and only first wife at that time, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. The whole of this surah came down. And it's the only surah in the Quran that begins with a story and travels through the whole story and completes the story. The rest of the stories in the Quran are all separate. A few ayat here, a few ayat there, few words there, a few words there. But this is the only place. And that's Surah Yusuf that we find. It begins by mentioning, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أُحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Indeed, we're going to narrate upon you the best of stories which have been placed inside the Quran. So stories of the prophets, they make the individual become steadfast in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, the end of the surah mentions, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in the stories of these prophets, the story of this specific prophet, Yusuf alayhi salam, عِبْرَة is a lesson. عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ is something for lessons for people or men of understanding. مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى. These are not made up fables and stories and myths. These are real stories of showing how these people, they persevered and remained steadfast. As the Quran mentioned, فَصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. Remain patient as those people of lofty goals and aspirations. Here's ulama tafsir mentioned, talking about the five blessed prophets, Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, wa Nabiyuna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the prophets that remain steadfast. Read into their lives, into the seerahs. Likewise, we find inside Surah Al-Buruj, Ashab al-Ukhdud, the companions of the ditch, how they remained steadfast upon the calamities that they were facing. Likewise, another key surah, Surah Al-Kahf, which we should recite every Friday, inshallah, the 18th chapter of the Quran. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. They were young men, young boys, who believed in the Lord, and we increased them in guidance. So the person begins to approach the Quran, as we mentioned, the general category, إِقْبَال al-Quran, come to the Quran to seek maw'idah, admonition, to seek guidance, to seek purity, etc., purity of the soul, of the mind, and likewise, and secondly, to come in specific to the stories of the prophets. The third thing that we find to remain upon steadfastness is ad-du'a. Ad-du'a, to make du'a. This is a weapon that all of us carry. We no longer can carry the AK-47, etc. We can't carry that no more, can we? Even you find that even if you read about them, just because I'm reading about Afghanistan at the moment, we find that for them, to carry a weapon is more beloved than eating and drinking. They will carry on until they master the use of a weapon, even if they have to starve for many days. And likewise, they write that the only thing that concerns them is their blanket as well. The blanket becomes their rug, their prayer mat, carrying weapons, carrying food, whatever it may be, that's their life. But the weapon that we can carry with us today, obviously I'm not promoting that, if that's what some people are trying to extract, The weapon that we carry with us, that's in all of our pockets, or should be in our heart, is prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's become difficult for many of us Muslims, unfortunately, some Muslims. That if you don't want to pray in open, even secrecy, the hardship, the oppression, the difficulties, the rape, the torture that's taking place upon this Muslim ummah, that if not publicly, at least secretly, in the depths of the darknesses, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are your servants, they're the sons and daughters of your servants, they're Muslims, they're being oppressed, they're being tortured, their honesty, their chastity, their dignity has been taken away from them. Send one that will alleviate their problems, send one who will protect them, regain their honor, their dignity, pardon them, forgive them. Even that, unfortunately for us, has become something politically incorrect, that we cannot even make dua any for, you know, these people, but we're allowed to make dua for people, for cats and dogs who may die around us. That's what we find. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَحَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. That's what dua inside the Quran, powerful dua that you find. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا. Do not send our hearts astray after you have guided us. That's a powerful dua that we don't know. The iman of a believer is the twinkling of an eye. The Prophet Muhammad used to make certain supplications, don't even leave me for the twinkling of an eye. And that is the Prophet of Allah. Inside Surah Al-Fath that we find that we have forgiven your past and your future sins. Even though sins of the Prophet are not sins that we make, they are just minor misjudgments, as ulama tafsir have mentioned that he made. But everything about him has been completed. Yet he is saying, do not even leave me for the twinkling of an eye. And we're left for many minutes, many days, many hours, many years we're left. Become so full of ourselves. Thus you find that a person always prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not send astray my heart after you showed me the guidance. Likewise, you find, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِقْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Literally, our Lord, pour down upon us patience. أَفْرِقْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا. Once again, the key word, وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. Keep firm our feet, our posture, our standing, our devotion, our commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst the most excessive supplications of the Prophet Muhammad inside sujood, Ya muqallib al qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Key word again, thabbit. O control of the hearts, keep my heart firm upon your deen. Other narrations or wordings we find, Ya musarrif al qulub, sarrif qalbi ala ta'atik. O one who changes the hearts, change my heart towards your obedience. These are supplications we can all go and take back. Praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us istiqamah, keep us steadfast. The whole meaning of ayat inside the Quran, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. I don't have any tawfiq, any ability except for via the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even as a long discussion of what does لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ mean? What does it really mean? Any movement, any speech, any conduct is all by the permission, power of might is only via the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, we find the third stage is dhikrullah, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will keep a person in his steadfast upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously we find out how some of our brethren begin to just say that maybe just doing enough dhikr and he will blow out the candle or take the hardships that we're facing. But there's a correct time of making the correct and appropriate dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we find in certain narrations that always keep your tongue moist with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's a key verse that occurs inside, if I'm not mistaken, inside the 8th chapter of the Quran, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha laqitum fi'atan fathbutu. Oh, you believe, if you meet the party, if you meet the group, fathbutu. Once again, the word fathbutu remains steadfast. Wadhkurullaha kathiran la'allakum tuflihun. And make excessive abundance of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you may become successful. The contextual understanding or the layout of these verses is jihad. So think about this very, very deeply and carefully. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you meet the group, the enemy, fathbutu, remain steadfast and make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then think about if we're outside the realms of jihad. So even in jihad, you've been told that your victory is given by you constantly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it be the dhikr of the heart, as we find, the dhikr of the mind, then obviously the best dhikr is to display it upon the tongue. So imagine if we're outside of that realm, outside of that arena. So we should be all doing excessive dhikr and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively in our adhkar, after the prayers and during the daytime, etc., that we find. Fourth way upon remaining steadfast is mumarasat da'wati ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to practice giving da'wah to people. Giving da'wah gives and strengthens the iman of the individual. Because that verse, as we mentioned previously, wastaqim kama umirt, remain steadfast, you've been commanded, you've been told to do so. There's another key word that comes before it. It mentions فَلِذَلِكَ فَدْعُوا وَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. So فَلِذَلِكَ فَدْعُوا, and thus you should preach. Give da'wah to people. So giving da'wah to people, it helps you to remain upon istiqamah, upon steadfastness. No one is ever going to reach a level of perfection. Many people say, well, when I get to a level of perfection, then I'll give da'wah. No. بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, convey from me, even if you know one verse from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those people around you, your family members, your loved ones, if you have the ability, the wider community, other people, deliver the message. It keeps the person, helps the person to keep upon steadfastness. Because giving da'wah is like a reflection, a mirror. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ, you tell people to do good things and you don't do it yourself and you recite the book. So Islam isn't like what we find Christianity today, the Pope going around apologizing, etc., throughout this charade that he's making, apologizing. The biggest hypocrites in their belief and in their actions, covering up everything. Yes, we have some levels of hypocrisy with us, but alhamdulillah, we don't have such a degree of child abuse and such paedophilia and corruption that we find amongst our priests or our religious clerics. Alhamdulillah, we don't have it. Yes, we may have some small, minor elements. We're not going to deny that fact. We don't have it to such a degree because most people understand that Islam is a religion of practice. When you practice your deen, you automatically are preaching your deen. So the more that we practice our deen, the more it becomes a tool of da'wah towards the wider society. Likewise, find the reminder, in huwa illa dhikru lil alameen. This is only a dhikr. So giving da'wah is a dhikr. Remind, because indeed the reminder benefits the believers. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْتَقِيمْ وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Whoever wants to come upon istiqamah, so when you're giving da'wah, وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ, remind about the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it helps the person come, inshallah, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon istiqamah, upon steadfastness. Likewise, the individual who is delivering the message as well. So all of this, these four factors that we mentioned, these broad categories of coming towards the Qur'an, and in specific, coming towards the stories of the prophets, and likewise, as we mentioned, of giving da'wah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua, making dhikr of Allah, are ways that we can begin to develop and incorporate in our life to begin to remain steadfast in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we all know, as we mentioned the verse of Surah Ibrahim, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah will make ithbat of those people who believe inside this world and likewise inside the akhirah as well. Thus, in conclusion, none of us should ever forget that this is the greatest blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a person to remain upon istiqamah. Because even addressing the Prophet Muhammad, as the Quran it mentions, وَلَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِتَّ تَرْكَنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا. If we are not made steadfast your heart, and this is addressing the Prophet Muhammad, you would have inclined towards them a small amount. You would have inclined towards them in some of the things they were presenting, or some form of retribution, or some form of deliverance or alleviation that should be given to the Quraysh, etc., whatever it may be, some form of compromise. وَلَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ, we have not made hard your firm your heart and your faith, you would have inclined towards them. So that is in specific to the Prophet Muhammad once again. So we should also be praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he's kept us upon istiqamah through the month of Ramadan and now outside the month of Ramadan, to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that keep us upon Islam, because we know that the greatest blessing is the blessing of Islam. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihadha wama kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's guided us to this, to al-Islam. And if we had not been guided to Islam, we would have been amongst any the wayfarers or the people who have been in a manifest loss or misguidance. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen all of our iman and to place these words inside our mizan of hasanat and make us amongst those individuals, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ وَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ, who hear the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow it to the best of their ability and implement it throughout their lives. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكُمْ.
Okay, brothers, I'd just like to open up the floor to any questions you may have. Yes.
The brothers asking the question that if we read Surah Al-Kahf on a Friday, if we read it in another language, not in the Arabic language, does it still provide or give us the light for the following any Friday? In some narrations, extra 3 days, coming up to 10 days. Simple answer is no. You have to recite it in the Arabic language. So you could maybe try to read it in Arabic and at the same time read it in English afterwards, so it gives you some insight what you've been reading. But persevere, remain committed. If it takes you an hour, 2 hours, and eventually over time it will become easier and easier. Don't read it too fast and try to complete it in 10 minutes. Some people do. I don't know how that's possible anyhow. Or reading the whole Quran in one night as well, or in a few hours. But persevere, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up your heart and your tongue to recite it appropriately. But at the same time, do read it, as you mentioned, English as well, so at least you are abreast or you know what's being read. That's the biggest problem many of us that we face. We don't know what the Quran is saying, what the Quran is addressing. So at least every day, read a page in Arabic and then read it in English or language you understand at night. And hopefully, you're going to normally tend to read more in English because you have more of a flow and command of language. You'll go way beyond. So when we come to the Arabic, you'll begin to pick out key words and symbols and ayat and verses that you've already read. Ah, here's talking about Musa, about sacrificing the cow, this is what happened, etc. That's a good way to keep in touch. But persevere, remain, the most beloved actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adwamuha wa in qalla. That action which is done on a habitual basis, even though it may be a small action. So on a daily basis, you read one ayah of the Quran in Arabic, persevere upon that. Always make sure you read one ayah of the Quran, even though it should be a lot more than that. But just say, for example, beginner's level, reading every day, if you don't understand or you can't read the Arabic fluently, read one ayah a day. Then read the English in the evening or another time during the day, inshallah. Wallahu a'lam.
Are there any other questions? Yes.
Hey, your brother's asking the question about we've seen the impact of Ramadan in of strengthening our iman and keeping us upon iman, inshallah. How about the optional fast? And that's what we find in the hadith, that whoever completes the 29 or 30 days of Ramadan and then comes with the 6 days of Shawwal, 6 days of Shawwal will have the reward of Siyam al-Dahr, as if the person has fasted for the whole year. So for each fast you find 10 rewards. So 36 times 10 becomes 360. So that becomes as if the person has fasted for the whole year. And then from there a person can take possibly fasting Monday, Thursday, 3 days of the month to keep that momentum going, inshallah. So obviously even if we take small glimpses of Ramadan and begin to try to do those small actions, that will have a big impact, inshallah. So that's a reminder to all of us that try to keep the 6 days of Shawwal. What's better consecutively to do them, to take them in one flow is better to do that, because a person may fall sick, etc. And if not, at least try to find six any separate days or weekends when you're not working, etc., to complete the 6 days of Shawwal, especially when the body is tuned to fasting. This will be a great blessing of remaining upon istiqamah as well, inshallah. Wa alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That's right.
That's right. They just take the first question. Sheikh mentioned about reading Surah Al-Mulk, the 67th chapter of the Quran. That does it, and is it a way or alleviation, or their narrations that talk about protecting oneself from the punish of the grave? Those are hadith, they're authentic, that a person, one way of protecting yourself from the punishment of the grave is to recite Surah Al-Mulk on a regular basis every single night. It will protect the person from the punish of the grave. The only other way, politically, it's not correct for me to discuss the other way where you can protect yourself from the punishment of the grave. I leave that to your imagination. The second part of your question? These brothers ask about would it interfere with the general understood of reading the rest of the Quran, etc. Obviously, we know that if you look at that bookshelf, there's got different compartments, hasn't it? Put everything in its right place. Time management, time organization. You're reading a Surah Al-Mulk in the evening, is Surah Al-Mulk. During the daytime, after Fajr, before Fajr, after Bahr, after Asr, try to read something else so it doesn't clash. Wallahu alam, that's it. Don't leave that my reading has to be done at night. Now it clashes with Surah Al-Mulk. You've got the rest of the day to find a moment to read something else from the Quran. But keep that moment at night specific for reading Surah Al-Mulk, inshallah. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless the time. Even like I said, 2-3 minutes or 2-3 ayat in the day, in the beginning of the day, in the middle of the day, where you feel comfortable, and remain constant upon that and keep that time in the evening, if you have the time, to specifically to read Surah Al-Mulk, inshallah. Wallahu alam. Go ahead, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If a person, but asking, if some people just look at the Quran and and maybe seek some blessing. If a person is totally illiterate, and maybe just place your finger along the Quran for some barakah, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could forgive that individual. But if a person can read the Quran, then they've got no excuse. And also holding the Quran, many people in Salatul Taraweeh now with their iPhones and their iPads and taking them out and looking at the Quran and following the ayat and fidgeting about with their gadget phones now. Ulama have talked about holding the Quran. If there's huffaz behind the imam, they should correct that imam. If there's no huffaz, then a person can hold the mushaf. So this continuous movement that we find of people holding the mushaf or using their iPhones and whatever it may be now, and soon it might be even laptops connected to your head and right in front of your screen. Wallahu alam, strange world that we live in, The essence of the Quran is what? The essence of the Quran is to read the Quran, is to make that difficult journey of reading the Quran. So just looking at the Quran could be some form of minute barakah. Wallahu alam. Maybe some Sufi barakah inside there, just looking at the Quran will get you to paradise. But the real essence get you to paradise is reading the Quran. And then the inner meaning of reading the Quran is what? To implement the Quran has the more impact. So unless the person is totally illiterate, there are some people who are totally illiterate, every day just move their finger on the Quran and they weep, saying that, oh Allah, I never learned the Quran, I can't read the Quran, so pardon me just by moving my finger on these words. Allah will judge that person, possibly forgive that person. But we don't go around impressing people with these views that just look at the Quran and inshallah you'll be forgiven. No, we need to go and tell people to go and learn the Quran, inshallah. Wallahu alam.
Of the five suggestions that you made, I just want to speak on to one being salah. Some of us, when we pray, it becomes mechanical sometimes without any khushu'.
That's right.
What are your thoughts on how to improve that? And secondly, some of us are able to read the Quran but without understanding at all. And so the ability to pick on the lives of the minimal, if at all anything. What are your suggestions on those two?
Babe, the second part you mentioned about the lives of the prophets, I did hint towards that if you begin to read the Quran in English, And basically when you come to those passages, it's not too difficult if you're reading Surah Yusuf and then you hear the word Yusuf that you know what's taking place. If you read it in English, that Yusuf is brought to the well and he's thrown into the well, he's taken out the well, he goes to the wazir, this happens, etc. So obviously it doesn't become so difficult. Do you understand? So obviously we're making it difficult, the Quran is so difficult. That's something, the dogma that's been placed within us. Quran is a difficult book to understand. The Quran was sent down upon people who are ummiyun, who are illiterate. There are only certain passages in the Quran out of the 6,300 odd ayat in the Quran that you find. Only 500 talk about ahkam, about rules and regulations. And that's whereby you need fasalu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. Other than that, the Quran is accessible to the layman like us. It's accessible. That's just a myth that we're living in. So as long as you try to read it in language you understand, then go back to the Quran, inshallah you'll be able to understand the Quran. As for the use of the Arabic grammar and the language, that's totally different. But the average individual should be able to hear something that's being recited and know this is talking about Musa alayhi salam, this is the station, this is the position. Alhamdulillah. Second part about khushu fi salah is obviously to go back and study the mechanical aspect of the prayer, how it is performed, what's being said, the supplications, to understand their meaning. But all strengthened when the person does stand inside the prayer, Surah Al-Fatiha in the hadith Qudsi, qasamtu salata bayni wa bayna abdi. I've divided the prayer here, as-salah bima'na al-fatiha. I've divided the prayer between myself, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the servant. And the person, when you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah says, Hamidani Abdi, my servant has praised me, until you find you come to the part of the hadith, that hadha bayni wa bayna abdi wa li abdi ma sa'al. This is between me and my servant, and my servant will have whatever he asks for. So many times people making long du'as after the prayer, when the whole of your prayer has been what? Has been du'a. To go back and study, when you sit in tashahud, those supplications of seeking refuge, protection from the grave, what do they mean? So learn the ma'ani, learn the meanings. Likewise, your environment as well. If you know there's a choice between two masjid, here the imam, in 2.25 seconds, he's prayed all of his prayers, and here the imam takes 20 minutes, go to the imam who recites, who's fluent with the Qur'an, who recites. We in our local masjid, we all know, isn't it? You come from Maghribs, imams like myself, Surah Al-Teen, and Surah Al-Ikhlas, over and done with Salat Al-Isha, two easy surahs, there you go, finish, isn't it? That's a natural norm, isn't it? A good imam is the one that you come to the imam, just something comes to his mind from the Quran, bang, starts reciting it right in the middle of Surah Al-A'raf, middle of Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah Al-Mu'minun. So that strengthens the iman of everybody, that different ayat are being recited on a daily basis. But unfortunately, many of our imams, they're not so vigilant. Many of them are just Ramadan imams as well. They can only recite the Qur'an in Ramadan. That's why a good hafiz of the Qur'an is one who keeps the Qur'an inside their chest wherever they go. So many of our friends, they memorize the Qur'an. When you ask them, you generally talk to them, what's the ayah in the Qur'an? It's not Ramadan, Shaykh. I have to go back and revise it. And a good imam is what? You ask him, what's the ayah? He'll pluck it out straight away. That's why one interpretation, Ibn Taymiyyah, when Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah wrote when he was inside prison in his Wabil al-Sayyib, invocation of God, ماذا يفعل أعدائي بي أنا جنتي وبستاني في صدري. What can my enemies do to me? My God and my paradise is right here inside the heart. One interpretation is the Quran. It's right here inside my heart. Wherever I go, it's with me. So I can't get depressed. I can't don't fall into anxiety or feel any unhappy. The Quran is there. So obviously try to find a masjid where there's a good imam, good recitation. And that will inshallah strengthen the khushu of the prayer. Likewise, to take vigilant to come on time, etc. And inshallah, Allah will open up all of our hearts and minds, inshallah.
Sorry. Okay, the last question.
Sorry, brother. That's right. What about it? Importance of it. Did you just come in now? Or did you hear from the beginning? Some brother already asked about that. Inshallah, Jazakallah khair, inshallah. Maybe another time, give a whole lecture about the Ahmiyyah, the importance of Surah Al-Kahf and its tafsir. I'm sure that Sheikh Ahsan Hanif has done quite a few good lectures and talks about that as well, inshallah. Barakallahu feek.